إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وأما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters, we continue with our series of lectures on the lessons from Surah Luqman, and we are on the subject of Salah. And we've been talking about the issue of Salah, of the importance of Salah, and so on. And inshallah, this week and next week and so on, we'll look at how we can improve the quality of our Salah and how we can actually benefit from the Salah. This is, at the end of the day, it's not just a matter of relating rulings, but also we need to at least know what we need to do. And very importantly, then we need to get prepared to do it. We seem to, as collectively speaking, as Muslims, we seem to live in a fantasy world where we think that just imagining something is sufficient, just wanting something is sufficient, and it will somehow happen. There is no somehow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's fundamental laws apply to everyone, irrespective of religion, irrespective of anything. The fundamental laws of this world, and success is one of them, apply across the board to anyone who lives in this world. And that fundamental law is that Allah does not feed the bird in the nest. The bird has to leave the nest in order to be fed. Allah feeds the bird, but not in the nest. And that's a fundamental law. So if we want success, whether it is in dunya, whether it is in akhirah, whether it is in material goals, whether it is in spiritual goals, we have to work for that. Without working for that, without working for the goals, we cannot get success. Nobody can get success. Others did not get it. We will not get it. And that's a fundamental law. And therefore, inshallah, we will talk about what we need to do with respect to salah. And that's what all of these khutab, as far as the lessons from Surah Luqman are concerned, they deal with all the different pieces of advice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala communicated to us, that Luqman alayhi salam gave to his son, because all of these relate to becoming successful in this world and the next. Over the last few days, I have been hearing about and meeting people who have been the who have suddenly either been given news of terminal illness, or some things have happened to them as a result of which they have suddenly, you know, discovered that they have terminal illness or some kind of impediment to their working. And what comes across and what hits me every time I see that is how in an instant your entire worldview changes, completely changes. All your priorities get turned upside down on their head because you got this news now that you have terminal illness, or because suddenly one part of your body doesn't work. Now, no matter what great business deal you were in the process of doing, or no matter which thing you were doing, or whatever you were running, no matter how big or small that is, the moment that happens, the first and most important thing becomes to deal with that. And the reality of some of these things is that we do not really have much in our control to deal with those things. We think we are dealing with them, but you know, we eventually realize that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does what He does. So therefore, while making dua for the cures of all those people, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to cure all those people who have these ailments and make them free from all pain and suffering, and make them free from the ailment and give them complete and total cures. While making this dua, we have to ask ourselves, what did I learn from this? And if you learn from it, then alhamdulillah, you and I would have learned without the pain. Now, I always say that it's the tragedy of the human race that we do not seem to learn without pain. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us pain. But if we want to break out of that model and start learning without pain, then inshallah, Maybe we can live very productive lives and not be given the pain, because we don't need to learn. We learned from somebody else's pain. So what do I learn, or what do you learn, when we look at someone who has been given news of terminal illness, or somebody who has had some kind of calamitous change in his or her health and life, where suddenly they were not able to do things which they normally did without thinking? What can I learn from that, even though, alhamdulillah, this has not happened to me? And may Allah protect you all from such things always, inshallah. One of the things that hits us is the issue of priorities. I mentioned this before, because when I was reading the biography of Steve Jobs, they asked him what was going on in his mind when he was given news of pancreatic cancer, which had metastasized, so it was beyond cure. And they said he has got some 3 weeks to live or whatever. So they asked him, how did you face this news? He said, I was very happy to get this news. So they said, why? Why were you happy? He said, because it helped me to prioritize things in my life. Now, the thought that hits me is that it's a great thing to prioritize things in your life when you have 3 more weeks to live. But it's an even greater thing to prioritize things in your life when you probably have 35 years more to live. Allah knows best. We don't know. But I'm saying that, alhamdulillah, those of us who are here, if you woke up this morning without pain and with all your body working fine, then alhamdulillah, you should go and sujood and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there are many people who did not wake up that way. And so when we did wake up that way, and then if we are able to prioritize things in our life, like Steve Jobs said he did, because he got news of terminal illness, then you are one step ahead, you are many steps ahead, because alhamdulillah, you managed to prioritize things much earlier than at the last moment. And that is the issue of priorities, which brings us to the issue of salah, and why salah is and should be our number one priority. The itaat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the ittiba of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, these are the two priorities, the two number one priorities. And I'm not saying number one and number two, because both are number one, because the itaat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So effectively, both are the same. And we say the itaat and ittiba of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because he was sent to us as a living human example, who brought the law and he showed us how to apply the law. So if we can do that, so therefore both of these things, the itaat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the ittiba or emulation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are both number one priorities and should be number one priorities for the believer, because that is what leads to success. And in that process, salah becomes the number one thing. And I'm saying number one because what brings you to salah, which is shahada, which is tawheed, which is the kalima tayyiba, is a precondition of being a believer. So once you have done that, you are now a believer. And therefore, number one thing for the believers is salah. If you are not a believer, then of course, obviously, one needs to become a believer. One needs to accept shahada. But once we are believers, alhamdulillah, then the number one priority is salah. And that is what we have been talking about. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, as I mentioned earlier, made salah fard and gave salah to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a primary resource almost immediately after he gave him the risala. In the very first year of revelation, the ayat referring to salah, referring to a particular salah which we all know as tahajjud, these ayat were revealed in the very first year of revelation, very soon after the very first ayat of Suratul Alaq. The ayat of Suratul Muzzammil and Muddathir were revealed, where Whereas the five times salah was made fard during Isra wal Mi'raj, which was in the 12th or 13th year of revelation, just before Rasulullah ﷺ migrated to Medina. So salah itself became fard, and Rasulullah ﷺ and the Sahaba prayed tahajjud as if it was fard. And this is borne out by the hadith which is with the asbab al nuzul of these ayat, which is mentioned by Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, who said that after the ayat of Surah Al-Muzzammil were revealed, the first 19 ayat, the 20th ayah was revealed 1 year later. And the 20th ayah is an ayah of rukhsa. It's an ayat of some level of freedom. But this ayat only came 12 months after the first 19 ayat were revealed, which made tahajjud fard on the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And of course, tahajjud continued to be fard on Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And I can say with complete assurance that anyone who prayed tahajjud with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for 1 year, and when I say prayer tahajjud with, I don't mean necessarily that they prayed tahajjud by jama'ah. Sometimes they would do that, sometimes they did not do that. But who prayed tahajjud during that 1 year, I can say safely that those people would never have left tahajjud as long as they lived. And that's why this is my dalil for the criterion when I say that before you say anything, pray tahajjud for 1 year without a gap, without missing even one day of tahajjud. This is what I mean by moving away from this corrosive and toxic belief we have in magic. I call this the belief in magic, that something will materialize out of thin air. It doesn't. Everything requires effort. Everything requires work. You want ta'alluq with Allah, you have to make an effort. You want ta'alluq with a human being, you got to make an effort. You want ta'alluq with anything, you have to make an effort. And that's why it is very, very important for us to wake up and get real and make the effort. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot do justice to the haqq of the ayat of the Quran when we try to explain them, and I'm trying to be brief because of Jumu'ah. Every word of it requires reflection. Every word of it requires us to read what our betters have written about that. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started by saying, Ya ayyuhal muzzammil. See the love and the affection and the honor of that way of address. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, Ya Muhammad, come. Allah did not say, Oh Muhammad, stand up. No. Ya ayyuhal muzzammil. Qumil layla illa qaleela. Oh, you who are wrapped in garments and sleeping. So much of izzah for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why it's very important. The issue of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his importance in our lives, and his important and the importance of his sunnah in our lives. This is something which we must never, never lose track of. We must give it importance because Allah gave it importance. And if we do not give it importance, then we are going against the order of priority and the precedence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set. So when people disregard sunnah and they say, well, you know, it is only, it's not obligatory. It's voluntary. You want to follow it, that's fine. You don't want to follow it, that's fine. I'm always amazed at the statements of complete ignorance which are made with such confidence, mashallah, by the so-called proponents and representatives of Islam, especially in the media. Complete ignorance is spoken with great confidence and without any semblance of shame. So anyway, don't get misguided by all that. That doesn't change reality, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made salah and made tahajjud fard for one reason only. And that reason was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a job. And he gave him a job which is perhaps the most difficult job that anybody can get in the world. And that job is to change people's beliefs, to change people's attitudes. Forget about religion, try that in anything. Try to change the preference that somebody has. I always give the example of your cricket clubs and football clubs, because there is, if the amount of passion that goes into a football match is put into something worthwhile, the world would change. But just try to do that. Somebody who supports one football club, and that football club doesn't have a clue that this person supports it and doesn't give a hoot about that, still you support it. Just try to make that person change his mind about supporting that and leaving that club and going and supporting some other club. And you know exactly the kind of difficulty that it is. You'll be very, very, you know, you'll be very surprised if you are successful. They will not do that. They'll fight tooth and nail. No. Manchester United forever. Huh? So where is the issue of changing the fundamental belief of who you will worship and who I will worship? We're talking about people who have been worshipping someone or something for generations, for thousands of years, hundreds of years, as long as they can remember. The entire society does that, and now you have given a job to somebody to say, change this belief. Is it easy? It's absolutely the number one toughest thing in the world. I do leadership development training. That's my job. And we talk about two things, attitudes and behavior. One of the books I've written is called Hiring Winners. And in that book I've said very clearly, hire attitude, train skills. You cannot train attitude. It's not possible. It's very, very tough. I'm not saying it's not possible, you know, period. Maybe it's possible, but then you have to decide, are you in business or are you in the business of changing people's attitudes? Which one? I mean, you need to change your line of business. Changing attitudes is a very tough job, almost impossible. Skills can be trained, attitudes cannot be changed. Very difficult to change. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that job. Change the attitudes. Change the beliefs. And therefore, having given the job, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a resource. How must I do that? Where do I get the strength for that? Where do I get the knowledge for that? Where do I get the words for that which will reach the hearts of people? How does this happen? And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the resource. You got a cell phone, you need the phone to communicate with people, but the phone can't communicate if it is not charged. So you need to plug it in the night to charge the phone so that you can use it the next day. Yeah, I mean, simple thing which we do all the time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ya ayyuhal muzzammilu qumil layla illa qaleela, nisfahu aw inqus minhu qaleela, aw zid 'alayhi wa rattilil qur'ana tartila, inna sanulqi 'alayka qawlan thaqila. إن ناشية الليل هي أشد وطعا وأقوم قيلا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Oh, you who are wrapped in garments and sleeping, stand up in the night. How much? The whole night. The whole night. إلا قليل. Except for a small part. نِسْفَهُ أَوِنْ خُسْبِنُ قَلِيلًا أَوْ زِدْ عَلَيْهِ. Half the night, maybe a little less than that, more than that, and then do what? وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Recite the Qur'an in a beautiful way. What is the Qur'an? The Qur'an is what was taught to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here is what you have been taught. How well did you learn? Repeat. Does Allah need to ask how well did you learn? Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala need for this Quran to be recited to know what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam learnt? No. This is training. This is training. This training is not because the one who is training needs to know that. He knows it already. But it is for the person. You need to know how to recite the Quran. You need to know how to present this Islam, so do it. وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. Verily we will give you a job which is very difficult, very heavy. A word will be sent to you which is very heavy. Very heavy means of great import, of great importance, of great value. It also means it is a job which is difficult to communicate and so on and so on. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He is our creator, Jalla Jalaluhu. He knows us better than we know any, and then better than anyone else can know us. So what does He say? إِنَّ نَاشِيَةَ اللَّيْلِ هِيَ أَشَدُّ. He said, we know that to get up in the night is very difficult. إِنَّ نَاشِيَةَ اللَّيْلِ هِيَ أَشَدُّ. May Allah forgive us, to get up in the morning is very difficult for us. Last time I mentioned the issue of Salatul Wusta, the middle Salah. And I mentioned something which a lot of Mufassirin have said, that the middle Salah is Salatul Asr. But what they have also said, and may Allah bless Hadar Bhai, he reminded me this about this outside, that if you take the midnight as the beginning of the day, which is in Islam, the day begins after Maghrib, then the first Salah of the day becomes Isha. First Salah is Maghrib, and then the second is Isha, and then the middle Salah is Salatul Fajr. So whether you take Salatul Asr or Salatul Fajr, the fact remains that the least attendance in the Masajid is for these two Salawat. And probably between the two, Salatul Fajr is the weakest. Here Allah is saying, stand up in the night. You want strength, stand up in the night. May Allah forgive us, we can't even stand up in the morning. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, stand up in the night. Allah says, we know it is difficult. Hiya ashadd, not just difficult, very difficult, most difficult. Shadid, ashadd is the superlative form. We know it is the most difficult thing to do. وَتَعَوْا أَقْوَى مُقِيلًا. But this is the best thing to discipline yourself, and it is the best thing to understand the Kalam, to understand the Quran. When you are by yourself, when you are reciting, and only Allah Jalla Jalaluhu is listening to that recitation. When you can reflect, when you can recite as long as you want, when you can repeat one ayah any number of times. So many hadiths about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam praying tahajjud, and the sahaba who prayed with him, prayed behind him. I'm not talking about jama'ah and so on. People came and just joined. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radhiyallahu anhu would just come and stand behind Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, one day I decided to do that, and he went and stood behind Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started, and he said in the first rakat, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started with Suratul Baqarah. And he started reciting, and he said, I thought he will recite 50 ayat. He said, he continued. He said, I thought he will do 100 ayat. He continued. He said, I thought he will do 200. He continued. He finished the whole of Suratul Baqarah. And then he said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and he started Suratul Ali Imran. And he said, he continued and he finished the whole of Suratul Ali Imran, and then he started Suratul Nisa. And Abdullah Masud said, I give up. He said, I ran away. Because I couldn't stand. And later on he came and he said to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I tried to pray behind you. This is what you did. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled and said, Who told you to pray behind me? It's not easy, our brothers. Allah. On another occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the last ayat of Surah Al-Ma'idah, where Allah mentions the conversation that will happen between him and Isa alayhi salam on the day of judgment. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows what Allah is asking to establish hujjat, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask Isa alayhi salam, did you teach the people to worship you and your mother instead of worshipping Allah, min dunillah? And Isa alayhi salam will say that, ya Allah, you know better than I what I did. It is not my haqq, it is not my right that I will say anything which is different from what I was told to say. And what people did after me, you know this better than me. I do not know what they did after me. And then Isa alayhi salam makes a statement which Allah recorded in the Quran. وَإِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ. O Allah, if you give them adab, then they are your slaves. وَإِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ. O Allah, if you give them adab, they are your slaves. وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. But if you forgive them, what is that? وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ إِنَّكَ مَنْ يَنْتَغْفُرُ مِنْهِ. Anyway, it will come to me. But وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ, I said, oh Allah, if you forgive them, then you are the most forgiving and you are the most merciful. The word there, غَفُرُ رَحِيمٌ, is not there. Some other word, inshallah, that will come. But the point is that if you look up to that, now, the point I was saying is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one day Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu and another sahabi with him, Usayd bin Hudayr, these two decided to pray behind Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in that salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeated this ayah. And he repeated this ayah over and over and over and over and over until he finished the whole salah with this one ayah. So now these two sahaba, they were there with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they were very surprised. But the adab of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they didn't want to ask him, you know, why did he do that? So when they went away, Usayd bin Hudayr radiallahu anhu said to Abdullah bin Mas'ud, why don't you ask Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Please ask him, why did he do this? Only one ayah. So Usayd bin Abdullah bin Mas'ud said, no, you ask. So he said, no, I don't want to ask. You ask him, because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam loves you and, you know, he allows you freedom. So Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu went and asked him. He said, ya Rasulullah, you recited this one ayah again and again and again. Kya hai? Azizul Hakim, Allah Kareem. Alhamdulillah. The ayat is, وَإِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ إِنَّكَ عَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. The reason I'm saying, Allah did not say غَفُورُ رَحِيمُ. Azizul Hakim means you have the power. You can give them azab. But if you forgive them, your power does not diminish. If you forgive them, like my Shaykh used to say, may Allah fill his khabar with nur, he used to make dua. And he used to say, Allah, de de, baat banti hai meri, kya jada bigadta hai? So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited this ayah over and over. So Abdullah Mas'ud radiallahu anhu came and said, ya Rasulullah, we have this question. Why did you repeat this one ayah so many times? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I was making dua for my ummah. So it was not me, I was not repeating the ayah. He said, this is my dua for my ummah. فَإِن تُعَذِّبُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. brothers and sisters, this is the power of the Hajj. This is the power of the Hajj. This is the resource which was given to the Anbiya alayhimus salam. And this is the resource that came to us as a result of what was given to them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this to connect with Him and to draw spiritual sustenance. And then after 1 year of this training, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the rukhsah. He sent the, within quotes for rukhsah, I am saying relief, not because relief from difficulty, but because that's the translation of the word. Which is the 20th ayah, the last ayah of Surah Al-Muzzammil, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ تَقُومُ عَدْنَا مِنْ ثُلُثَي اللَّيْلِ وَنِصْفَهُ وَثُلُثَهُ ونصفه وثلثه وطائفة من الذين معك والله يقدر الليل والنهار علم أن لن تحصوه فتاب عليكم فاقرؤوا ما تيسر من القرآن علم أن سيكون منكم مرضى وآخرون يضربون في الأرض يبتغون من فضل الله وآخرون يقاتلون في سبيل الله فاقرؤوا ما تيسر منه وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة واقرضوا الله قرضا حسنا وما تقدموا لأنفسكم من خير تجدوه عند الله هو خيرا وأعظم أجرا واستغفروا الله إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. What do you say about those whose salah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bore witness? إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يَعْلَمُ. Your Rabb knows. Verily your Rabb knows that you stand in the night to pray. For a little less than two-thirds or half or a third of the night, and so do a party and so do those with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bearing witness that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray tahajjud and that the sahaba prayed with him. As I said, this does not necessarily mean that they always prayed in jama'ah. They did not pray in jama'ah. They prayed sometimes, some people were with him, sometimes they prayed alone and they prayed. But Allah is bearing witness to the fact that they used to pray tahajjud. And Allah measures the night and the day, and He knows that you are unable to pray the whole night. So He has turned to you in mercy. The requirement was that you would pray the whole night. But Allah knows you are weak. Allah knows you need some sleep. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives you for sleeping. So recite the Quran as much as may be easy for you. And He knows Jalla Jalaluhu that there will be some among you who are sick and others who are traveling through the land seeking the bounty of Allah and yet others fighting in the cause of Allah. But for all of them also, so recite as much of the Quran as may be easy for you. Allah is not saying that, okay, if you are sick or if you are traveling for in the course of your work or if you are doing jihad fi sabilillah, sleep peacefully, no problem. When you come back home, you can pray tahajjud. No. You also pray. You also pray. And makes a lot of sense. Because when you are in need, that's the time to ask. When do you ask? When you don't need anything? No. The time to ask is when you are in need. So Allah says you are in need for the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask for the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, you don't have to stand the whole night. You stand a little bit, you read a little bit of Quran, but do not leave it. Do as much as you can do, as much as easy for you, and establish a salah and give zakat and lend to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a good loan. This is the ikram of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. How can you lend to somebody that which already belongs to him? Where is the question of lending? Qarz-e hasana to Allah? This is the ikram of Allah. Allah said, Alhamdulillah, you give it, I will return. I will give you a return on that. Allah will give you a return on that which He owns anyway.
Ajeeb. The rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever good you send before you for yourselves, which is the nawafil, which is the khairat, which is the sadaqat, you will certainly find it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better and greater in reward. Astaghfirullah and seek the forgiveness of Allah. Inna Allah ghafurur rahim. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving and the most merciful. Now, brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you to inculcate the habit of tahajjud in ourselves. And believe me, it begins with you. Not your children, not anybody, yourself. If you cannot get up for salah, what face do you have to tell your child to get up for salah? Bring about changes in our lives. The biggest culprit which prevents us, and I'm talking specifically about Hyderabadi Muslims, from getting up for tahajjud and sometimes even getting up for fajr, are the khurafat weddings that you do and you attend. Isn't it a matter of complete and total shame that people are dying of starvation right in this country, and people are dying in Palestine and dying in Syria and wherever and wherever, and we make all these dhuadar takarir. Urdu kya beautiful zaban hai. Dhuadar, yani aisi takarir jisme dhua ho. So dhue se jo haqiqat hai wo ojal ho jati hai. Smoke screen, smoky speeches. Kya hota usse? You do not change one iota of your lifestyle. 7 din ki shadi hona. 7 days of haram must happen. Ye rasam, wo rasam, wo rasam, wo rasam. All of this nonsense must happen. And then you want to tell the imam to recite khunut nazila in. If that khunut nazila actually works, then you will drop dead first. Believe me. Because the khunut nazila is against the oppressors, right? It's a good thing your imam's khunut nazila is not accepted. Because if it is accepted, you will get hit first. Boom! Turned into one smoke. La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. Are kuch to sharam karo yaar. Ajeeb hai qaumi Hyderabad ki. If you do not bring about change in your life, nothing will change. Read my lips. Seriously, our days are numbered, mine are numbered more than yours. And very soon a day will come when I will not be here. Don't wait till that day. Bring about changes in your lives. When will you do this? Every day I get wedding invitations. How will you answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What do you plan to say? Now, brothers and sisters, it is high time to wake up. It is high time to wake up. Change this khurafat way of living. Wake up for tahajjud, make tahajjud fard on yourself, teach your children by example, not by telling them. And make sure that you pray Salatul Fajr in the masjid, even if you have to go and sleep in the masjid. Go and sleep in the masjid, that's the best thing. If you can't get up in the night, go sleep in the masjid. So you will wake up for Salatul Fajr inside the masjid. Please, if we want the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, just getting somebody to make dua does not work. Please understand. We have to work, and after working, then we make dua ourselves in the right place and the right time, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts those duas. Otherwise, get prepared for more and more and more, and get prepared for changing a situation from looking at news to becoming news. May Allah protect you and me from all forms of evil and from all shurur of the makhluk. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure the ailments and sickness of anyone who is sick. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove anyone who is enmeshed in debt from that debt and make you debt free. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who are unjustly in prison to be released from the prisons. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove all your difficulties from you. Bismillahi ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.